I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the booty booty. It's time to get this party started. It's the booty booty. It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Yeah, the ninth is good for me. The weekend after that, no chance.
We won't say what for though, loyal listener. You just caught Jimmy talking about a potential date for a potential something or other, which we'll confirm in the coming days, hopefully. Certainly coming weeks. It's Footy Prime, everyone. And I'm back. Everyone held down the fort brilliantly, made fun of my face, so thank you for that.
I like your scruff a lot, Charms.
Yeah, apparently. I
you
know.
Look terrific.
Anything that covers up your horrible-looking face...
It's not that.
Well, kind of what you said.
It is kind of what she said.
Yeah. You know, I don't like it either, and nor does my wife. So it looks like keep the face covered up. The wife's happy, the pod's happy, and I'm happy. So why would I ever shave? Huh?
How did Tony tell you though that she didn't like it? Like, was it as soon as you shaved and said, I don't like your face?
I can, you know, after 20 odd years together, I can just look at her face and go, wow, she's pissed off about something here.
Did she make a Dubs face? You know how Dubs can't contain her face?
Oh yeah, no, she's got no poker face. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck have you just done to yourself? You want me to touch that? So I'll keep it going. Okay, all right, how about that?
She wasn't talking about your face.
And by the way, she was at the game, Craig. For Craig, just to fill Craig in, she was at the match, the Inter Miami match, with me. She bought two tickets. I know you were pretty sure
that ruins
one.
A good story.
I know, doesn't it?
It does. Kind of ruins it a bit. Did she enjoy it? Did you both enjoy it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was cool. I saw Messi years ago at the Nou Camp. And on that night, he was outshone by Xavi. He was fucking incredible that night. Scored two goals. Messi was just, you know, cast off into the shadow of the mighty Xavi that night. So to see him come on at halftime, it was so funny. I get to the game, and then I look at my phone. Oh, so no Messi, no Busquets, no Suarez, no Alba. Good. Excellent. This is working out well. And so I said to her, I said, listen, ideally, we get one goal for the Rapids in the first half, ideally. And that will guarantee us we're going to see at least one of those guys, probably Messi, because you want to get him some minutes in before the big game this Wednesday in the Champions Cup. And lo and behold, they win the penalty, get the goal. So boom. And then we see Messi walking off straight down the tunnel before halftime. Thought, yep, he's coming on. She loved this, by the way. She loves me explaining everything. You know, she can imagine.
Oh,
this is really interesting. Thank you so much for informing me about how football works.
Sure, everyone sitting around you loved it as well.
There were some morons. There really were some morons around us who just don't know anything about football, but were very loud about football.
Such a snob.
Yeah, you know what? I tell you what, Inter Miami, it's cool what they're doing there, and it's going to go somewhere big. But they got a long way to go. The atmosphere was not even close to what we experience here in Canada. Not even close. The supporter section, we're right beside the supporter section. And they were doing their thing, you know, throughout the entire game. But there were lulls for sure in that match. And the only real noise came when Messi warmed up and when Messi did his thing and touched the ball at any time. That's when the whole place kind of lifted. So there's a lot of people there, as we expected, just there to see Messi, not necessarily to see Inter Miami. But that will grow in time. That's why they brought him there.
What were the ticket prices for you? You were in the end zone, weren't you?
Yeah. So I think they're expensive. So they were like $500 for the pair. But that was through resale because of that
right.
evil, evil entity Ticketmaster.
Oh, man.
Good seats?
Worst. Yeah, great seats. Just behind the goal, actually.
And I'd like to announce our new sponsorship with Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster, yes.
So everybody knows we'll be selling tickets with Ticketmaster.
I don't know. I don't know if I would be able to stomach a Ticketmaster sponsorship.
Are they a bridge too far? No, I was going to say, who are you?
Of course I would. No, let's be honest. They're a horrible company, right? Let's not kid ourselves here. Well, they jack prices and then they operate the resale market as well. They're scalpers as well as just original ticket sellers.
Don't the clubs now get some sort of cut from Ticketmaster as well? So, for instance, if it's the Toronto Maple Leafs and they put them up on resale, not only do they get the money for the tickets, they get a percentage of the resale for the tickets.
That would not surprise me at all, but it makes me even more angry now you've said that.
Yeah. So why would they bother or why would they want to sell tickets at the regular price, right?
Yeah, exactly. Go Pearl Jam. That's all I can say. Go Pearl Jam. Yeah. Are they still fighting Ticketmaster? They were for years, right?
Yeah, they were, yeah.
I think so.
I don't know if they won that.
Clearly not.
No.
Anyway, it was it was great. Messi's pretty good still. I mean, bottom line is, I'm sure if you saw the game or the highlights, that every time the ball touches his foot, something happens. He still has it. He really does. It's just it was a lot of fun. But the stadium, you thought BMO Field was made of Lego? Whew. Go and see Inter Miami play. Well, that stadium. They can't wait for their new digs, which would be pretty impressive.
How are the fans? Do the fans understand the game?
No, they're there to see Messi.
That's it.
Yeah.
Very last, right times.
No, exactly. Lulls when there shouldn't be lulls. You know, as I mentioned 5 minutes ago, glad Jimmy was listening.
But look at you guys fucking gatekeeping, hey? Do they cheer at the right time?
Blind.
You know what?
Did they respond to the Jumbotron telling them to cheer?
There was that. There was like cheering on the Jumbotron. Like, do you need that really? But I was surprised because there was a real Latin feel to the whole game match day proceedings, right? Real Latin feel to it. Hmm. And I thought there'd be more sophistication from the fans. That's what I thought.
My
but
God, looking
well, oh, shut up. You know what I mean?
No, there was a Latin flair from your outfit for the game. It's a bit douchey. What? We talked about it. Slight douchey.
Oh, because my hair, the second I took a picture, my hair happened to be in my eyes a little bit, and that's was douchey. It, suddenly,
was it Latin flair or lack of flair?
Oh,
well, it wasn't until Messi came on.
All right,
then there was plenty of flair.
Sounds like the real football fans down there are being priced out.
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, yeah, it ain't cheap. But
all the prawn sandwich guys coming in.
That's Jimmy, isn't it?
Someone asked me actually on Twitter beer prices. And yes, also very expensive. So when we rip BMO Field for beer prices, that's just generally sports entertainment, sadly. I'm not ripping TFC necessarily, but we're ripping the whole world that we have created as fans, consumers who are prepared to spend that much money on beer. Because did I buy beer? Yes. Yes, I did. Despite it costing me over $20 for a can.
So, $20 US?
I think it was 17 US. I think it was.
What beer was it?
I got Heineken because I just can't drink the domestic shit.
You got a premium lager.
Yeah, but still, Jimmy, still $20 America. Come on.
Nah.
It's a lot, isn't it? But what am I supposed to do? Not drink?
It was your birthday. What the heck?
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. Anyway, I kind of missed you all for occasional fleeting moments. Did you? Why?
Because it's more fun when you host.
Tell me why.
A better podcast when you host. So I missed you in particular.
From what I listened, the podcasts were just great. You don't need me. They're great. Dubs, you just need to shut up and just start realizing that you're actually a pretty damn good broadcaster.
Oh, jeez. Thanks, Charms. That wasn't the point of my whole thing. I'm glad you're back.
It was.
I'm glad you're back.
You were missed, Charms.
Yeah.
See? Subtle dig.
A real one.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you what, we've done a lot. Already, I'll be back, a few days, and we've done a lot of podcasting already. Is it dropped now, JC? I think it's dropped now, isn't it? RCPL. Yeah, it has. So it's dropped now. We'll be putting out socials shortly as well. We did a massive, epic CPL preview show all day yesterday where we spoke to a player from every single Canadian Premier League team ahead of kickoff this weekend and got to know them a little bit, a little insight into their clubs, into their thoughts on Canadian football. Basically 5 minutes per player. And I think it turned out pretty good despite my internet being awful, apparently. But it was bad, yeah? Yeah, yeah. My end, it was fine. So it's really frustrating when that happens, as Craig knows, because in your end, it's like, well, nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was. But regardless, I think it was a really informative hour or so. How long was it, JC, in the end?
1 hour, 3 minutes, and 44 seconds.
We came close, gang. We came close to our 1 hour goal.
Wow. There. Yes. But I will tell you, the one thing that everything worked out, it came together. There was a little bit, but at the very end, it was, so after all that, that was the cheers for listening.
It wasn't just me stuttering.
No, it was all like melanged into half a second. So I went back and I went through our archives to try to find cheers for listening. And I tell you, it's been a lot of laters and goodbye. So trying to find a nice cheers for listening was very difficult, but I did find really? One. And I placed it in there. A little podcast magic.
Oh, little genius, you, JC. A little genius.
Thank you, baby J.
Yeah. Well, give it a whirl. Give it a listen. Today, we've got a guest coming up any time now, actually, hopefully. We won't say who it is in case there is an issue, technical issue. But I'm excited about this. Should be a great show. Champions League yesterday. She believes cup final as well. Lots of football. So Canada lose to the States again, yet again. Bit frustrating, to say the very least. Dubs, your thoughts on the performance?
A bit frustrating, but after the semifinal or just the opening game of She Believes Cup, because she believes not in extra time, she believes straight to penalties, and it was She Remains Unconvinced was the semifinal kind of title. But I'm a believer in. I mean, I'm always a believer in this Canadian squad, but they performed very well. I think despite the result, I think it's disappointing, but when you zoom out and you look at what they want to accomplish, and they've got limited opportunities to test out players, to test out formations, to measure themselves against the best in the world, I think that was accomplished in that final against the U.S. And some poor penalties again in the shootout. You have to give credit to Alyssa Nair. But Canada delivered. So I was impressed overall with their performance.
I was as well. It's hopeful, really. It is. So when you look at the previous or past results or even performances against the United States, that was they were competitive. They were testing them. They put them in the back foot on occasions, and they're a good structure. I thought they were excellent, really, really good. I think that's forget about the penalties. We know that those go. But overall, I think they should be pretty proud of the performance.
Any concern that the States have Emma Hayes arriving pretty soon? And she's shown in the past you can turn teams around. The States, obviously, they went again. Was it the 7th and 9th in 9, I think, She Believes Cups? They are what they are, but when they get that type of coach to actually organize them properly, you're going to see a bit of a gap created.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think that... I'm excited to see what she's going to do, especially with the kind of the transition that team's in. I mean, they always have a tremendous amount of talent at their disposal, but they're kind of in between two generations of talent. And it's about how do you maximize and how do you get the most out of the veterans? Somebody like Alex Morgan, who is not as influential as she used to be. And players like Jaden Shaw and others. I mean, Sophia Smith continues to be prolific for them. I think that Emma Hayes will come in and just elevate them further, which is of concern to the rest of the world. Because, after the World Cup and when they went out, when they did, it was their worst performance ever at a World Cup. I mean, that was the shakeup, right? Because their standards are so high. We need to bring somebody of Emma Hayes's quality in order to make sure that we can sort of stay at the top of this heap with everybody catching up to us. And they will do it because she's going to put in the right kind of tactics, the right sort of mentality and mindset, and just take them. Hopefully not for Canada's sake, that, you know, it's not happening at the Olympics. It'll take a little bit more time in order for her to put her fingerprint on the squad. But I think it might be an immediate impact. They'll get the bump from Emma Hayes coming in.
Do you notice anything at all different from Canada without Cinqui, as far as the identity of the team, pronunciation of a nickname, but anything at all? I mean, do they see, sometimes when a top player, you know, leaves, there's a freedom about them or something, maybe less pressure. I don't know what it is. Do you notice anything at all? Obviously, the last number of, you know, matches with Cinqui, she was less and less a factor. We understand that, even tournaments too, right? So it kind of began before them, but now, like, not being that figurehead, they got this new feel about them.
I think it's less of a feel within the squad, and I think it's liberating. And perhaps that's maybe not the best word that I could have chosen, but it's a weight that's been lifted off of the shoulders of Bev Priestman. It's less for her to manage, and it's a chance for other players to make their mark in the squad.
Right. Well said, Dubs. Well said. As mentioned, we got a guest today, and I'm excited about this one. I think this is the first time actually on Footy Prime. I've spoken to Declan Hill many times before. But I think it's his first appearance with you cretins. All right. So Declan Hill.
No. I was in Colombia in 2000 when your man to your left, my diagonal up there, did the greatest single performance in football. I think you guys should start your every show standing and applauding to Craig Forrest. And I know.
Oh,
Jimmy,
wow.
In a hop. Like, that performance to win Canada the Gold Cup was the greatest single performance ever in football. Ever. Craig.
If I did,
I would take it off.
I heard it was fixed.
What a man like you doing with Charmin and the rest of them. Like, it really is the rose among the thorns here, pal.
I know. Yeah, I see that you got the check in the mail.
Hey, you know what's funny, Declan, is that actually during Craig's stint at Sportsnet for 20 years, part of his contract was that we had to actually stand and applaud him when he walked into the studio. It was weird. So for a long time, we did that. It was a little bit awkward at times.
Yeah, no, everything froze after I gave Craig Forrest some compliments there. You can see that technology is clearly working for James Sharman.
we'll move on then. So Ethan Craig Forrest, how about that? All right. So listen,
can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. You sound loud and clear right now. All right. So those of you who know Declan,
no, it doesn't seem. I'm going to babble away here. Okay. Match fixing is still going on. Nobody's actually doing anything about it. There's a whole fake industry created to pretend that people are doing something about match fixing in football, but really, it's become as institutionalized as doping.
Oh, we just lost Declan. It's not my technology, Declan. See, they've got to him. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah. They've sabotaged him.
Right now, Declan's in Connecticut, so I'm not sure how their internet is down there. But this is Declan Hill, by the way. This is those of you who read The Fix, you know all about Declan. He is an investigative journalist, and he is I wouldn't say it's his life goal, of course, but he's one of the, if not the authority on match fixing in football and how sadly has affected major tournaments over the years. He's got some incredible stories from his experiences investigating such things. And I hope, here he is, he's back now. Declan, can you hear us now? Is that better?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I just, Craig, did you notice how they – line had technical problems after I gave you those compliments? You know, I'm sure James has got some kind of kill button on his desk there that, yeah. Oh, yes. No compliments to Forrest, right? Yeah. Cut that man off.
It's definitely Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy's nose is out of joint because the compliments aren't coming his way.
Although I do like this look. I think this is working for you, James. I think that look, you know, you're very, very handsome and distinguished.
You know, it's funny. It's funny because so we just talked about this, Declan. I we lost Declan again now.
Have some of that, Declan.
Oh, no. I tell you, I will never shave my face again now. This is
more. Declan is pleased that it's hiding the contours of your face.
I know. It's like these underhanded compliments, I think, right? Is he back now? No. There he is.
Just as I complimented James Sharma, something happened. So clearly, I think it's the quiet Jimmy Brennan.
Yeah, it is.
Quiet Jimmy Brennan.
I'm just taking it all in.
Hey, Declan, I gave you a great intro, by the way. So just assume that we said nice things about you and what you've done over the years. By the way, I really enjoyed your recent piece on Shohei Ohtani's translator and really enjoyed the very subtle use of sarcasm within that.
I just cannot believe that we're supposed to, on Major League Baseball's word, go past all these multi-million-dollar athletes. And athletes have a proclivity for really serious gambling and gaming addiction. We can get into this later on in our conversation and blame, the translator. It's a scandal. It's an ever growing scandal because people will not talk about the plague of addiction in our athletes now. And the addiction isn't drinking or smoking or drugs that it was back in my day. Not that I was an athlete like Jimmy or Craig or you guys, but gambling and gaming is just sweeping over athletes now. It really is a very, very significant problem. And I see it because that's a gateway into match fixing and a gateway into corruption.
Do you see, Declan, at the top end of the game, it happening less because of the money that the players are paid from a match-fixing point of view, and the real problem is the lower divisions that are a little susceptible to taking a bribe or match-fixing?
There's two big motivations for match-fixing. One is not getting paid. And as you know, that's a perennial problem in football. Your colleagues in the Spanish La Liga, once you drop out of Atletico, Real, Barcelona, like some of those guys, some of those teams don't pay their players for like 6-7 months. I mean, a series of strikes in Spanish football where, you get the Lionel Messi or, Santi Cazorla or something standing up and saying, look, we get paid, but the guys that we're playing against every week, they've got wives and kids and they haven't seen, a single euro for months. So Spain, as you know, has been hit with a number of major match-fixing scandals, some of them second and third division, but some of them in La Liga. So that's one issue. But the other issue, which is really this issue that we're talking about with Major League Baseball, is that if you're an addict, it doesn't matter how much you get paid. If you're Gianluigi Buffon, your colleague, one of the great goalkeepers of the world, he lost all his money gambling. In fact, not only did he lose all his money gambling and all the salaries and sponsorship, he was millions of euro in debt with illegal bookmakers. Wayne Rooney, not saying that he's become bankrupt, but he was a serious gambling addict for a long time. Paul Merson obviously is. I could go on and on and on. There's a long Phil Mickelson, John Daly, Michael Jordan, Pete Rose. I could literally take half an hour and just recite, The problem is that if you are a top athlete, the very characteristics that make you good as an athlete, never giving up, single-minded obsession, overturning odds, everybody says, hey, Jimmy, there's no way that you guys can turn over that 2-0 deficit, 10 minutes to go. Jimmy's not going to give up. He's going to keep going right to the last second, right to the last moment of perspiration. And that makes you a terrible gambler. As James knows, I have a lot of professional gamblers in my roster of contacts, and they are math nerds on steroids. Like, they're utterly dispassionate. They're utterly unemotional. If they have any emotion in any team, they just turn off and they don't bet on those things. It's only to make money, and they're very, very rare. But everything that makes an athlete good makes them a terrible gambler. Terrible gambler. So the game, the sport of football has now gotten too fast to be able to do drinking and drugs on a regular basis. You know, you occasionally see these guys going off on benders, but you just can't drink as you used to be able to 20 years ago. The game is too fast now. But the same stress is there. The same tens of thousands of people are screaming, you know, you're a bloody idiot when you drop the ball and make a mistake you didn't want to do. So they have to put themselves somewhere, and they're turning to gambling and gaming. You know, gaming is the start, and they'll get into gambling. I'm not suggesting, Craig, that every single week in the Premier League there's a fixed match, but I am saying that there's a host of players in that league who are addicted, absolutely addicted, and very, very few people are talking about it. One of the few exceptional people who are talking about it is, of course, Tony Adams, the former Arsenal captain, who had serious problems with addiction, woke up one day and just realized, I don't like who I am. And there's nowhere as a professional, high-profile professional footballer I can go to get help, because every time I go to a therapist's office, you know, my photo shows up in some tabloid. So he sets up Sporting Chance, which is a fantastic organization. Again, I'm very close with those guys. I won't break any confidences, but their work among high-level sports people is truly shocking. Truly shocking.
Declan, do you not think as well that it's got a little bit to do with boredom for a lot of the athletes? Simply because if you think you go into training in the morning, you train for an hour and a half, and you're done for the rest of the day. Yeah. And if you don't have a hobby, you're looking to find something to do. And I remember a lot of the guys after training, bored, just jumping into the bookies and going to put a few bets on. And I think the other thing is today, where you'll probably find a lot more athletes are gambling, is simply because of the fact it's so easy now. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere in all sports.
It's on your phone, mobile,
computer. Correct.
Yeah. You know, it's like being an alcoholic and walking around with a bar in your back pocket. Like, you can never get away from that touching and stuff. Yeah. I do. I also don't think that we should downplay that in many countries there's a pretty well-organized system of fixing. We have one that's so well-entrenched here in North America that most of our North American sports fans suffer from serious cognitive dissonance, and that's tanking. Tanking is just fixing. It's just organized fixing. And don't tell me that if you're a player, a linebacker in the National Football League, and you know you're supposed to lose this game, you're not going to start betting against yourself. I mean, tanking is a massive problem. In football, your sistema, the system is alive and well in Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece, Turkey, across much of Eastern Europe. And that's the situation where late in the season, Jimmy, the middle-ranking teams, the teams that aren't going to be losing and aren't going to be promoted, just go, oh, saw this, and start selling their points to the teams that need it. So that's the club owners come in and say, okay, we're going to lose this. They get the 3 points. We get 2 million euro and a chance to bid on their star player next year. So that system is really alive and pumping away.
Wow. You mentioned gaming there a little bit earlier. Esports is growing enormously at the moment. Millions of people watch this stuff. I don't get it myself. I'm old. Is that an opportunity for the bookies, for the fixers? Is that happening in that industry?
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, so two factoids. And by the way, I want to get to Brazil in a second. Israel and Brazil have kicked up on my team's radar screen in the last week or so, because there's tons of fixed matches there. But to get to your question about esports, I remember talking to a senior bookmaker for one of the biggest bookmakers in the world, and they reckon year over year, esports now ranks with National Football League in terms of total betting. Now, obviously, National Football League goes, you know, essentially September to, you know, mid-January, and esports goes January 1st to December 31st. But that under 30 demographic is just crazy about esports. Esports is the Wild East. There's virtually no regulation in it. Much of it is run out of China. Many of the best players are impoverished Russians. And on it goes. It's just major, major match fixing. And the scandal, I think, and I've written about this in the Globe and Mail and have seen nothing about it, is that match fixing is not illegal in Canada. And all the fixers know it. So some of them moved to Canada because they're like, what are you going to do? You're not even going to be able to arrest me. So many of the esports fixers come to Canada and set themselves up here.
No kidding.
Right. Yeah.
So why is that? I mean, it's illegal elsewhere. Why is the Canadian government not in that?
Because the federal government, for some reason, I don't understand it. You know, I talked to the Ministry of Sports before they legalized sports gambling. I said, okay, that's cool. I'm totally for legal sports gambling. I've seen the other side, and I'm for legalized sports gambling. I'm not for hypocrisy. Lots of people like to gamble. I don't, but, you know, lots of people do. But change the criminal code of Canada. It's just one paragraph, and you just amend it to say match manipulation for the purposes of betting is fraud. And bingo. Then you've got all these police officers who are coming to me, because most police officers love their sport, and saying, hey, we're hearing all this stuff, but we can't do anything. We literally cannot do anything.
Wow. Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Well, okay, name me a government that has taken this upon itself to try and beat it. Is the one?
Yeah,
is there one flag bearer?
I just hate saying it. It's the Australians. we should be beating them, and they're always ahead of us. And they're just like, that's not on our watch, mate. We're not. Crikey, we're going to put our foot down. And fair play to them. A, it's illegal. B, they've set up a special dedicated police unit, only 3 or 4 police officers, but that's really all you need. Who've got the expertise, and they put successful convictions against corruption in esports. They put successful corruption charges against match fixing in football. Cricket they've gone into, tennis they've gone into. They cracked down on a lot of the tainted doping problems. So that's the way to do it. They've really taken this seriously. They say sports is incredibly important to us as Australians, and we're not going to have it corrupted. And I don't understand what's going on in Canada now, that race to bronze, with the exception of Craig, who's a gold medalist. By the way, I'm a big fan, Craig. Not sure if you're picking up on this.
Declan, go ahead.
Okay, Warren. We just finished the NCAAs. So the men's and women's basketball, more people tuning in,
yes,
specifically in Canada, because we had Zach Edey, who's on the national team, Toronto boy. NCAA in itself is this weird kind of corrupt company allegedly, where they don't want to play their players. Where does the gambling fall into that level? Because we have so many young people moving into opportunities in the States and CIS in amateur. They say they're amateur sports. Where is the... How far has it seeped into the NCAA and those tournaments and that kind of level?
What's an intelligent man doing with the rest of this mob? younger. Let me just say, cut above Sharman. I mean, he really. I understand why he's brought you lads in, Craig, Jim, for good looks and Wander for the intelligence. It's really, and yeah, Chris, it's brilliant to have you on this conversation. It's much higher level than I usually.
Dubs is at for this too, just so you know. She'll have an intelligent question.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Amy. This is great.
Pressure's on now.
Don't worry, it's a very low bar with James.
I built a career in a low bar, so and lots of bars actually.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Look, I think the reason why I'm complimenting you is you put your finger on. If I had to design a league that was going to motivate corruption, I couldn't do any better than the NCAA.
You couldn't do better.
You know, I'm teaching now.
Wander's so excited.
Wow. Amy played for Nebraska, just so you know. She played D1, Nebraska.
Go Big Red.
Absolutely. And his coach was making a jolly good salary, probably in the six figures. The top basketball guys, I'm down here in Connecticut, the number one salary for a public employee is the basketball coach of UConn, of both the men's and women's. They make way more than the governor does. And that's true. And I think in something like 17 states of the United States, the number one employee is the coaches in these NCAA public universities. Okay, fair play, but pay the players. Like, pay the players. It's difficult to state the religion of UConn down here in Connecticut because we don't have a professional sports team. So everybody's obsessed about UConn. And so those stadiums are packed, like literally packed. The whole state shuts down when they play. And those guys aren't getting paid. And that's an open door to corruption. It really is. James was kind enough to mention a post that I put up about Shohei Ohtani, the baseball player. But I didn't talk about all the stuff going on in the NCAA. We've got all kinds of investigations into Iowa State, Temple, Loyola, Crimson Tide out of Alabama, all kinds of stuff is going on there. And not only that, many of these student athletes are being threatened, you know, because no gambler, when they lose a sport, lose a bet, ever go, well, I made a dumb mistake. I shouldn't have done that. It's always some conspiracy. It's always something. And so they're in class or they know the mobile phone of these guys and they're threatening. So it's appalling. It really is an issue. And the final issue is that many of the universities here are so outrageously corrupt that they've signed deals with bookmakers. And when I use such a strongly loaded term like corrupt, I let me lay out my tent here for that, to make that pitch. Some of them sign deals with bookmakers that if students at their universities sign up and become users of that bookmaker, the university gets $30 or $40 or $50 for each of their students. Now, imagine if that were a tobacco company. Because, again, I have nothing against sports gambling being legal. I think it's a good idea. But it is deeply addictive, and it's deeply addictive to young men. So you're signing them up to a deeply addictive thing, and then the people that are promoting this, naming their university stadium after this, hey, the FanDuel DraftKings, blah, 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 blah. It's just outrageous. And by the way, I'm not sure if it is FanDuel or DraftKings that are paying these bounties to these universities, so I'll recall their names. But it really is an appalling system, the NCAA, and it's all kinds of issues are going to happen.
You mentioned earlier that you see a higher incidence of gambling when players are put in substandard conditions. And unfortunately, the nature of the women's game is just that. That the standards are often quite poor, whether they're playing for their national teams and it's they're fighting against their federations or across the world where you're only now seeing a boom in women's pro soccer. And most players are amateur or are paid unfairly and not paid a living wage. So is there enough data on women's football now where you're seeing a proclivity for gambling because now there is that exponential growth and then maybe there is more money in it? Or is there just not enough research on it yet?
I don't always believe in the data, just as a general thing, because the data is so skewed off, and I can get into that if you guys feel like going wonky. What I do believe in is talking to the fixers, and I still talk to many fixers, and a number of them have just said, hey, we're going to go fix women's sports. because nobody pays any attention to them. And the women are really, as you're saying, Amy, are very badly paid. And I can fix a game there for, you know, 100 euro, for 200 euro. Like, I don't have any problem. They don't hassle me. Women are generally more honest. So when they agree to the fix, they actually go ahead and do it. And nobody's paying any attention. So I think it's a huge problem. The other issue, and I'm hesitating to bring it up, as you guys can see, and as our listeners and viewers can see in my face, you know, I started this morning's conversation with Craig about the plague of gaming and gambling addiction among male athletes. I think the other plague that's going on, specifically and particularly in African football, but around the world, is sexual extortion and bribery. There must be an African team, an African national team that doesn't force their women to have sex with their coach. I just don't know who it is. There must be some innocent ones, but it is so rampant. It's an issue that I really think should be laid at the feet of Gianni Infantino. This is baked into the system, and it should, you know, there should be hotlines set up. There should be ways of combating this. And as far as I'm concerned, that kind of abuse trumps match fixing any day of the week, because that is it's a football game. But that, where you're ruining the souls of these young women players, is appalling. And it's a really, really, really widespread issue in football.
And even as recently as the last Women's World Cup, I think there were accusations levied at the Zambian national team coach, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and it got played down with that thing with the Spanish president of the Spanish Football Association forcing the kiss. Fair play. But the amount of attention dedicated to that, whereas you see just this plethora of cases. A good friend of mine, a fellow Canadian hero like Greg, is a guy, Richard McLaren, and he did a major investigation into the plight of women in basketball in Africa. And it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And again, this is really easy stuff to fix. And I really think FIFA needs to be playing a major role in this. It's really easy to set up hotlines. It's really easy to send in independent ombudsmen to say, hey, if your coach says the only way you're going to get on the football team or the national team is to do the following, here's where you go. This is what you do. These are the things that you can do.
Actually, a template for it, the Wii League in Japan, has put together quite a robust safeguarding system in order to protect the players. So templates are there. FIFA wouldn't even have to put together a task committee so that we'd have an answer in 4 years. The results are there because they've put these standards in place so that the players are protected and safe and can just play football and not have to worry about being abused.
Cut off James's obvious question. The difference between Sepp Blatter and Gianni Infantino is everybody knew Sepp Blatter was a crook. Like everybody, you know, it was no secret to anybody in the world. But Gianni Infantino is still largely in the sports media press, has largely undergone a honeymoon, and he still isn't being challenged sufficiently. And this, Amy, as you say, the answers, the responses, all the stuff is out there to stop this stuff from going on, and they simply will not do it.
Declan, they keep an eye on the top gambling sites, and apparently the top, say, 50 gambling sites, and if there's irregularities in gambling, those red lights come up and they tackle it. That's obviously not working at the level they thought it was going to work, because that seems like a good idea if they're doing it properly.
It's a brilliant idea, except that it's being sold as a be-all and end-all thing. You remember when I was talking about data and I was saying how I don't always trust data. Here's the secret. And I'll just share it among you and the viewers and listeners, but please don't tell anyone because they'll all be upset at me.
That's 9 people overall.
I think James's mum is tuning in.
No, she's not, Declan.
Look, you can't actually read the gambling market on the NBA, on Champions League, on the Premier League, on the National Football League. It's just too big. Like, it's just way, way too big. I remember seeing this firsthand when they were fixing a game at the World Cup. And I was like, you can't fix a game at the World Cup. And they said, actually, it's really easy because they can't tell. They literally cannot tell. And what we can do on that gambling market is just massive. So every game, you know, the 64 games at the moment in the Men's World Cup, and there's at least $1 billion in action on that. So if you were to punt 30, 40, 50 million bucks on the underdog team losing, the market would not move an iota. It just would not move. And it's the same thing in Champions League. It's the same thing in the Premier League. It's the same thing for NBA. The only reason why we picked up on Jonte Porter's strange anomaly, we still haven't figured out what's going on completely there. It was a parlay bet, a kind of a small bet. And for the guys who don't know that story, Jonte Porter is essentially the third string player for the Toronto Raptors. And on January 26th and again on March 20th, bets on his underperformance were the top most profitable bets in the National Basketball Association, which is saying an enormous amount because there's hundreds of millions of dollars in bets every week on NBA. So on the actual games, on the actual big games, you can get away with an enormous amount. A huge amount.
Declan, you said at the beginning you had Brazil and I think it was Israel that popped up on your radar. Can you explain that? Like, what is it that pops up? What is it that you notice in those situations?
Well, Israel, you know, the fixing has been going on for over a year and it's absolutely rampant. And the Israeli Football Association kind of, I was quoted by a bunch of Israeli newspapers, and then the Israeli Football Association was supposed to reach out, and my unit here at the university was going to give them all the information we had, and we never got that call. We also got a call from the Brazilian authorities maybe 7-8 months ago because there's major fixing going on in their Premier League, their you know, their big league. And I spoke to the senior Brazilian government officials, and I said, you think it's a problem because these top teams may be implicated in fixing. That's not your issue in Brazil. The fixing has now become so endemic that you have 15-year-olds fixing their games. You've got reports coming out of São Paulo that in these tournaments, very much like the Robbie on the outskirts of Toronto, like high school players are fixing their game. That's how endemic it is.
Wow.
And the reason why I wanted to bring it up is that 2 days ago, the Brazilian Football Association, the CBF, announced that they were doing a 30 million euro sponsorship with a betting company. So we've got this enormous amount of match fixing going on in Brazil, from the 15-year-olds all the way up to their Premier League. And they're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper into a relationship with gambling companies, and they have not figured out what they're doing, and they haven't really had an adult conversation about what it can mean for their sport.
Wow. You've spoken about this unit you've created at the University of New Haven in Connecticut. Can you explain some more about that exactly for our listeners and viewers?
Yeah, it's my strength is talking to people that most people don't talk to. So I got on my way to talk to you yourself, obviously, James.
You beat me to it.
No, I'm sorry, mate. I've got to stop it. All right, that's it. That is a free zone. No more jokes, because I really don't like you.
Please don't stop, Declan. Keep going.
No, stop. Know your boots.
Particularly as I admire his beard and goatee. I think it's very dashing and distinguished. look, my strength at the unit is that I talk to match fixers and professional gamblers and bookies, illegal and legal bookies. But the guys, I've enlisted and recruited one of the world's, top sports bookmakers. So he gave up the business a couple of years ago, got into anti-money laundering, and is now working very closely with me. I'll tell you one story just because I think it really illustrates the nature of sports gambling. He was a top bookmaker in Europe, and I asked him, how many customers did you have? And he said, maybe about 1 million. I'm like, oh, that's quite cool. He goes, okay, well, how many of those guys won? And he goes, you mean like in a year, like January 1st to December 31st. And I was like, yeah. Like, how many of those guys, how many of that 1 million actually won? And he goes, five? And I was like, you mean 5,000? He goes, no, I mean five. I'm like, 500? No, five. And I actually know them. And I'm counting their names on my finger. That's how rare it is to win at sports gambling. So it's my message when I talk to my students and anywhere out in the public is ignore the advertisements. The bookmakers spent tens, hundreds of millions of dollars creating this idea that any fan can come out ahead of them. You know, it's all part of your glamorous lifestyle. It's not. It really is not. Jimmy, did I answer your question sufficiently about Brazil and Israel?
Yes, you did. Okay. Thank you.
We should remember Mauricio Tirico, an Argentinian player that came to Ipswich, and I was horrified by the stories he was talking about in Argentina. And you talk about those middle-of-the-road teams that aren't going down, they're not going up, they're sitting there and coming in after a warm-up, and you got a brown paper bag on everybody's stall, and this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a nil-nil match. Like, and I was just like, wow, I mean, and I'd never seen anything like that and never knew and never heard anything like that as a young Canadian going over to England and coming from a country where we're, you know, it's all sportsmanship and fairness and competition and all this. It was like, it was quite horrifying. So it's not something new, but it's also something, I guess, that is expanding and becoming more of an issue all the time.
Declan, I'm going to ask you, we're almost out of time, but I know when we were talking through email, you wanted to mention this Norwegian team based in Oslo. Either KFUM or is it KFUM? It sounds okay. Like a radio station.
just to share the reason why I've got my arms in the air. Anyone listening, I've just got my arms up because sometimes, Jimmy, it's kind of depressing coming on, talking about corruption, talking about all these issues. And I really want to stress to you guys, because you don't know me as well as James does, I love football. Football has given me some of the best moments of my life, some of the best relationships and friendships. I just love it. I think it's a vehicle for our ideals and morals. And I've risked my life to save the soul of football, and I fight every day to do that. So my desire and my passion comes from the beauty of the game, and I love the game. And I've discovered the YMCA team in Oslo that has got a stadium, barely 1,000 people. They have to walk across a zebra crossing. Craig will explain to Amy what that is. Sorry, a zebra crossing, a pedestrian crossing. Sorry, Amy.
Did you just call me pedestrian?
I'm just going. I'm leaving now. It's going well with my love for the beauty of the game, and then I just torpedo myself. I'm sorry, Amy Craig.
No, I love it.
Longer, Jimmy. Okay, look. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, you guys remember the famous Beatles album cover? I think it was Abbey Road, where they're walking across and things. And so, like, the guys are in a dressing room, and to get to the stadium, they have to walk across this pedestrian crossing. And they've now gone for the first time in their 85-year-old career into the Premier League, the Norwegian Premier League. And they're doing it right. They're not going in debt. They're not taking sponsorships from tobacco or alcohol or gambling companies. They've got their community is around them. You run your name, your eye down the names, and they're from every ethnicity in Norway. They're in the east side of Oslo, which is the tough working class area, and they are the voice of their community. And so it's just lovely. It's lovely, James, that as I'm delving and fighting to protect sport, that I can turn my attention over, and there's like this little team who's taking on the Giants in Oslo and doing it the right way. So KFUM, Oslo, the YMCA team, if anyone has interest and passion, just follow them for the next thing. I just love them. Love them.
That's a great story. It is. There are so few of those stories, sadly, in professional sports nowadays. So you're right. We should celebrate them until they got to. But let's hope they won't get. Declan, thank you so much. This is great. It was going to be 15 minutes. We couldn't stop. because that was, as usual, fantastic. Despite hammering me, I appreciate that anytime.
Thank you. Guys, it's a real pleasure and an honor to be on your program.
If you've got anything else nice to say about me, you got a few minutes.
Well, where do I start?
Like, stretch it out. Stretch it out.
I'll see you guys. Cheers, everyone. Thanks so much.
Bye, Declan. Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
That is Declan Hill. Follow Declan on social media. And if you haven't read The Fix, you just have to. It's incredible. It's sobering. It's sad. But I think it's a really important read as well. He talks about, you know, having to, you know, at night change the furniture in his hotel room because he knows that some bad people know where he's staying and might be after him. So he does literally get death threats. A fascinating individual for sure. Doing the right thing. The good work, shall we say.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
He's talking about KFUM being one of the kind of the last bastions of purity in the game. I think we should include them on our parlay this week.
You know what? That's a great idea. You know what? Irony or hypocrisy. I'm not sure what that is, but it's one of those things.
Apologies, Declan.
Yeah, we'll double down on them.
I wanted to make a few comments. One was the large vagina, symbolic vagina he had hanging over his left shoulder.
Oh, the picture. It's funny that I noticed that.
It was a large vagina?
Well, it sure looked like one.
For those who aren't seeing this and are listening to it, it wasn't actually a vagina. Okay, it was a piece of art in the shape of Jimmy's resting hand image. That's kind of what it was.
It was a vessel.
It was a vessel.
No, that was just great, though. I thoroughly enjoyed that. About time you got on the show.
It's very interesting, huh? Really is interesting. I mean, you could talk to him all day about how it works. And, you know, I always wondered these guys that do the Max Fiction, like how do they find the weakest link and get to them? You know, what is it that they look for? But it's a great question. It's actually quite scary.
No, but it's totally interesting, Jimmy, because you're talking about even with the transparency of sharing of salaries now, whereas that never was a thing 40 years ago. All of a sudden, hey, everyone needs to show how much money everyone's making. I'm sure the other day I was looking up NWSL salaries because I wanted to know how much people were making, how much, you know, is it a career? It's only a career for some people. It's the rest of the time they need a side hustle. So all of a sudden the side hustle people are the ones that you go, hey, let's have a chat, right? And that's across any league. It's the side hustle people.
But it's scary. It's scary as well. You know, so many times, you know, I'll be, say, for instance, with a couple of the parents at my son's soccer game. And you hear them all the time talking about, oh, that game was fixed or this is fixed. And I kind of get my back up a little bit sometimes. Be like, no, it's impossible. That game's not fixed. But, you know, when you actually hear from Declan, when you dive into it and he tells you the stories, now it's got you thinking, well, maybe some of these guys are right.
Well, these 50
is it pure as what we think it is.
Yeah, from a tanking side of things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's why they target the smaller leagues, right? And the smaller teams, because they know they make nothing. You know, it's so hard to target a Premier League player, for example.
Wasn't it interesting, though, that because the World Cup market is so large that the data can't be read properly? That was what I took out of that, was there's no way to safekeep or figure out who's doing what because the market is just so large.
Yeah, that got me as well. I was like, well, that makes sense because if there's a billion plus put on a game and somebody puts down a few million bucks, it's not even going to register.
Yeah. And most people are losing anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, well, so few people win. 5 in a million? I mean, that makes a lot of sense given our history.
Hold on a minute. We're still winning, I think.
We are. We're still up, aren't we, Sherms?
We might be one of those five.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because you have four names and then Footy Prime.
Declan recognizes the name.
How much did they win? They must have won millions. No, they won $86.
Yeah. $52.13.
When you put a 6-game parlay in and you do win, you know, you're going to win some decent money, which doesn't make you look as if you're actually doing really well because you are in the plus money. But it's so rare that you actually win doing a 6-game parlay, as we know. We should be a lot higher up, right, if we knew what we were doing, but we don't. And therefore, we're like, 56 bucks up, whatever it is, over the course of, what, almost a year? That ain't great, really.
No.
I'm telling you.
That's we're winning.
Yeah, we're winning. Winning. We're the winners, well, Jim.
I'm sure Jimmy, Tony James.
Yeah. I don't even know who that is.
if we up our betting up to like $10 or $15 a parlay, that might register on the the list of
should we start
spiking up.
No more $5 bets, Craig. Should we just go, what the hell? We're doing 20 this week.
Ah, the red flags are going to go up. They know something.
They know something. I'm going to draw attention. I think we're good being stealth.
I think you're right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I also want to say, just because it was great to hear him say, I'm all for legal registered betting. So thank you, Tony Bet. That made me feel better.
There, Declan. No, exactly. Exactly.
Like, yes. Well,
and remember, Jimmy, going back when we were playing, that on the back of the programs, you come into the dress room and you look on the back of the program, there'd be odds on the game and odds on the first goal score and all these things right on the program.
Yeah.
And you were able to go out in the bookie in the stadium and put a bet on.
Yeah.
First throw-in.
I would go
like your odds were beside your name. So I'd be like, Brennan's at 12-1 to score. Oh,
12-1? No, you weren't.
Brennan, 10-1 for a sports hernia.
Double.
There could be lines in our podcast, right? First F bomb by Dubs. You know, first I'll tell this a free from Jimmy. These kind of things, right? Makes money, put some lines on those.
I'm going to bring back Footy Prime Bingo.
Yeah, exactly, right? I got to run, and so is Dubs. I know that
much.
Yeah,
so do I.
We should say farewell then. Montreal, three questions dropped yesterday. That's my listening pleasure, where I'm going now. Oh. We have the CPL, as I mentioned there, hour and 3 minutes. Every team, a player from each team to talk about them, their teams, and what to expect this season. And then later today, we're recording our TFC three questions and Vancouver Whitecaps, Canada's best team, three questions. So tons of stuff for your listening pleasure.
And the broadcast.
Is that down already or is it being taped
No, tomorrow? It's later on. Remember we talked about this yesterday?
I don't remember
that's
that.
That's four, yes. It's four, later on the, this yeah. afternoon.
Jarman did 8 interviews yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, Greg.
You can make it. Claire and I are welcoming Laura Bryan from Rise Higher.
Amazing.
Awesome. Breakdown She Believes Cup.
Fantastic. All right. First time Dubs has ever said Rise Higher without a smirk on her face.
Well, there it is.
But that is very much must read and must follow Rise Higher. Great stuff from Laura. All right, everyone. We are back. After all that, we're back on Friday with Footy Prime episode 3 bajillion or whatever it is.
Well, actually, you got MLS box to box tomorrow, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Do we have a guest?
I'm waiting on one, but we'll see.
But maybe also Pat Leduc.
Yeah, well, that's what I was waiting on.
I thought you had another secret one.
No.
Pat Leduc?
I actually did not. Pat Leduc.
Pat Leduc.
Pat Leduc. He's not coming on now.
Maybe on tomorrow's box to box. All right. So until all these, cheers for listening. Don't interrupt, Dubs. Okay, this is a JC for future reference. Cheers for listening.
Oh my God! What accent was that?
James,
do it again.
Sorry, James. Give me one more of like a question.
Cheers for listening.
That's the one.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Okay. Do you have a regular voice? Do you want to do
it? It is the one. Cheers for listening.
What's my regular voice? That's my regular voice.
I don't know. Not the one you did first. You said, cheers for listening. It's terrible.
Cheers for listening. Cheers for listening. Cheers for listening. Cheers for listening. That's my Costanza.
It's your Tourette's.
All right, I gotta go. Bye.
Okay.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.